Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this day is Isaiah 6, here again the part that reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at his voice, who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Dear graduates, you have made great accomplishments. We are here to recognize you and to celebrate with you. Of course, there's also the ceremony that goes along with it and the possible party. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Some will rejoice and finally think that you are out from underneath your parents. Others will go ahead and take advantage of living at home and having laundry and a bed and refrigerator privileges. Your destiny seems to be in your hands. But who really rules? Isaiah 6 begins, "In the year that King Uzziah died." Why would you care? But the people of Judah did. They were wondering, who now would rule their lives? Uzziah, a Davidic king, he maintained a great army, he had expanded the borders of Judah, and if you would go ahead and add the country of Judah along with Israel, you would say that the kingdom was as big as it was under David. And Uzziah, unlike so many of the previous kings, but like David, was a believer in the Lord Almighty. But now, Uzziah was taken out of the picture. People were wondering what kind of king would his son Jotham be? Would he go ahead and provide for his people, or would he be self-serving? Would he give stability in amongst the international chaos? Could he hold the country together? Would he defeat those who had come to shatter their nation? This was the year that King Uzziah died. Who really rules life? And that's going to be a question for both of you. Who is going to rule your life? Who will keep your life stable? Are you really in the driver's seat? Or are you still your parents? Or is it the school that you're going to? Is it the debt that you will accumulate? Or the wealth that you will gain? Is it your friends? Or for some, may it be the gal or the guy of your dreams that you follow where they go? Now that's the question. Who really rules our life? And if what rules your life is taken out of the picture, what will you feel like? Will you wonder? Will you feel defeated? Will you be afraid? Who really rules your life? Isaiah did not have to wonder, and neither do you. In Isaiah 6:1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his temple filled the robe. And I said, 'My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Yes, the Lord, even though the king had died, the Lord still reigns. He was still in charge. The one who was, who is, and will be, is King over all the earth, no matter what happens. no matter who or what you have lost. But that posed a problem for Isaiah. When he sees the King, the Lord of hosts, and the archangels testifying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," Isaiah recognizes something about himself and about the people around him. They were in trouble. Not because King Uzziah died, but because the Lord lives. Isaiah says, "Woe is me." Those words are funeral words of mourning. Isaiah continues as the ESV translates, "For I am lost." The NIV translates as "ruined." The idea here is pulling the string, the loose string on a sweater, and you just keep pulling and the whole thing unravels. Yes, Isaiah's life is undone. Now, we may ask, why? Is not God a God of love and mercy? Isaiah explains, "For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. God is holy, and I am not." Not just holy, but three times holy, the ultimate holy. There is no room for uncleanness. There is no room for mistakes. There is no room for "I try." No room for sin. Isaiah is undone. He is lost. We are lost. Why? Because we are all unclean before the ultimate holy God. There is no escape. Now, how did Isaiah and his people end up this way? You see, not all was right under King Uzziah. Oh, Uzziah had done much that was good, but as things continued to improve, his pride grew. He came to believe that he didn't need God's ministering priests. He could serve God himself, and he went and offered incense himself, and the priest warned him as he entered. Still, Uzziah's pride swelled, and he became angry at the priest, and he did it anyway, and he was struck with leprosy. Leprosy. He was unclean. The people considered him unclean. Confined now to his house of sin, he was unholy before the holy God. Uzziah finally got his life together, his spiritual life in order, but he didn't for the people. Uzziah did not remove the high places, and many of the people were left to stray in worship and its practice and saying detestable things. Among these unholy people, Isaiah the prophet comes to preach and work, for God had made him responsible for them as well, and he recognizes his own unholiness. As all of you know, all is not right in our country, in our city, our schools, and our homes. Consider the high places, the things that tempt us to replace the triune God. They seem to stand fixed and high. The religions of evolution, sexual orientation, self-gratification, self-service, and vainglory still engulf people's lives. For example, you've heard this story before. A pastor asked a graduate what they planned to do. Well, the graduate said, "Of course, go to college." And the pastor asked, "Then what will you do after college?" "Well, get a job, a good paying job." "And then?" "Well, of course, get married." "And then?" Well, if I have enough money, buy a house. And then, well, I suppose have children. And then, and the list went on, I suppose retire. And then, travel. And then the pastor asked, and the graduate looked puzzled. And then what? Well, I suppose die. An atheist, those who believe in other gods and other religions, even the godless can answer these questions. But what will make you different? You have been baptized. You have been claimed as God's very own. And God confronts us today so that we are not ruined and we are not lost when the world attempts to fill us with everything but God. And so our mouths are not filled with words that leave God out. God confronts us to tear down our high places of godless pride where there is new room for God. God made us. God redeemed us and made us and redeemed us in His image. For without Christ, what can we say? Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. Today we are confronted with the Holy God. We have confessed our damnable pride. The message of destruction has been sent, and the judgment of God has been pronounced on our uncleanness, our unholiness, our sin. And it is there on the cross. It is the very death of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in this person, our brother, a fellow human being, is put to death, but also our God, the author of life. The debt of sin has been completely paid for in full. That message was announced at your baptisms. That message was announced at the beginning of the service. Your guilt has been taken away. That's what happens in the Lord's Supper. Your sin has been atoned for. That's the message that we meet the Holy God among unclean and unholy people who have confessed their uncleanness and their unholiness. There God joins Himself with His Word. He hides Himself under bread and wine and gives us His death, the death of His Son, His body, His blood, and it becomes yours. Your sin and the person's sins to the person next to you is no more because of Jesus. And so today, all of us carry the holiness of God in our lives. Our lips have been declared holy to speak the holy word of God. And the holy word we speak will destroy, but it also gives life. This holy word delivers Jesus, His death, and His resurrection. And because of the holy word of Jesus, we now are able to stand before the holy God in righteousness and purity forever and can say before Him, "Here am I, send me." To be educated, to marry, to have children, to have a life. Proclaiming the word and the work of God wherever we are. For our lives now say, God rules here. Our God reigns. Today, God allows us to see the Holy God through Jesus. through faith, by word and sacrament, we experience the fullness of the death-inducing law. Through faith, we experience the blessed, life-giving gospel. His word is not only our death, but our very life. For today, my eyes, our eyes, have seen the Lord of hosts. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.